When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, where it's your fault we're old. That's a reference, by the way. This is Bob Mackey, your host of this lovely show. Who else is here today?
Wow, Bob,
you think
Mackey.
I was going to do it again?
Oh, I love it. I want it every time I talk.
All right. I am Chris Antista, host of Laser Time Show.
I'm Henry Gilbert, host of Cape Crisis and a billion other things. Mm-hmm.
And today, by the way, this is Laser Time's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. And thanks for joining us on this magical voyage. And today's episode is Bart vs. Thanksgiving, which aired November 22nd, 1990. Very close to Thanksgiving.
It was Thanksgiving.
It was, they say
it on the commentary, and I remember it myself. It was aired on Thanksgiving.
I guess that was a Thursday, so I was probably eating some leftover turkey at this point. So
probably
Chris,
watching a shitload of football, Bobby?
No, I wasn't. Even then, I didn't like it.
Well, because there's old... Yeah, I'll talk about it in the episode.
So please, Chris, what happened on this magical day, Thanksgiving of 1990? What was going on 25 years ago, for Christ's sake?
Oh, boy, Bobby.
This week in Simpsons history, John Major is elected as Britain's next prime minister. MTV refuses to air Madonna's Justify My Love video, featuring sultry scenes in a bed. And a little indie darling called Home Alone tops the box office.
Wow. Justify My Love, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't she release that to VHS?
I think so.
And then it took off like insanely.
Was that the one that Wayne and Garth made fun of?
Yes.
With the guy with the
black and white
video.
Bob, did we do Madonna in karaoke?
I think I did. Yeah, I sung like a prayer. That's my standard, by
the
way.
I did that with you. Thanks for remembering our duet.
You'll hear that a lot when I do karaoke, by the way.
Really?
Like a prayer.
That's my favorite Madonna song.
It's the best song she does, but I'm only speaking as a white man in his 30s.
Lucky Star's pretty good, too.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty great.
Also,
Madonna's really good, though. That, according to Family Guy, that's like your gay test. If you say anything about Madonna other than her looks, then you're gay.
I've got a girlfriend, I swear.
Why am I talking about Family Guy?
I would also fuck Madonna. Yes. There. Gay barometer.
You're putting that out there, sure. Is she happily married? Who knows? We'll find out on our Madonna cast.
She does what she wanted.
Never been a guest star on The Simpsons, strangely.
That's really strange.
It does seem weird at
this
point.
Someone with her star power. But yeah, this is Bart vs. Thanksgiving. I want to say this was written by George Meyer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
His first Simpsons episode that he was credited as a writer.
Sole credit. I think he had a season one half credit.
Henry, how would you describe George Meyer's attitude and writing style?
I love George Meyer. He's my favorite, and one of his things is he actually had one of the first things I ever read about a writer on The Simpsons was a profile, I believe, in The New Yorker on him.
That's right, yeah.
That he was the darkest guy from a screwed up family, and he hates the rich, he hates authority, he's not a fan of his family, and his episodes are, and his jokes are some of the darkest and meanest ones the show's ever had.
I do feel like this episode is really about the Meyer family more than The Simpsons.
Yes. You'll learn a lot from the commentary. Meyer says that the inspiration came to this because it was a constant conversation in his home about who ruined what holiday.
Exactly, yeah.
You have to figure out who ruined what holiday.
That's what makes comedy writers tragedy and broken homes, but also
Harvard, apparently.
But I mean, they can combine and join forces. But David Silverman also directed this episode, and we'll see some really crazy David Silverman animation later. Like, I think it ranks up there with The Raven in terms of ambition and like just insane camera angles and
lots of pullouts, lots of lots of awesome reveals done within the frame.
Mm-hmm. If Brad Bird doesn't count as a director because he really only fully directed one
consultant
episode. Then David Silverman is the best director.
I believe so.
He's the MVP. Rich Moore's great. Jim Reardon's great.
Mm. Oh, for sure. Yeah, all those original guys are on top of their game at all times. But Silverman is probably the most expressive, the most distinctive director. But
Bob, would you call him the glue?
I think the glue is you don't stand out, really.
Stop fighting with your sister!
She took my glue! It's not yours, Bart. This is family glue.
Stop it, you two. This is Thanksgiving, so glue friendly or I'll take your glue away and then no one will have any glue to glue with.
Sorry.
I appreciate your segue, Chris, but I feel like Mark Kirkland is the glue of the Simpsons directors. He is the most reliable and not the most
Phil Hartman.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, he does his job, but he doesn't really like rise above anyone else. Really,
so excited to get to Phil Hartman's first appearance. In the show.
When is that happening?
I'm not sure.
It's this season.
I think it is the
Bart gets hit by a car, right? Two episodes.
Yeah, that's right. Lionel Hutz.
Coming.
I'm so excited for that.
I was thinking of the first Troy McClure, but that's not until the is it the Soapbox Derby Racer?
Or
is that just the first Doctor
Troy McClure was showed up in? I thought about the nuclear power plant educational film.
Oh yeah, he's in that one.
He was in that too. Okay.
No, wait, no, that's the isotope guy. It's not. He's not in that. Chocolate factory.
Gonna drag you back to the Thanksgiving.
Please help me. Please help me.
Plenty of time to talk about this.
Yes. So the first act is just like really super observational Thanksgiving things. Like there is no plot. Just like here's what happens on Thanksgiving. Homer watches football. Marge cooks. There's family members that show up. Just like it's a lot of very like specific holiday jokes without a lot of guidance. I think, which is fine because there's a lot of observational humor in the early Simpsons.
And like I've said before. I've commented on a couple of things the Simpsons have done as Rockwellian. And at the same time, the President of the United States is slamming the Simpsons as a bad example of television. I find situations like this something I am nostalgic for. Football on television on Thanksgiving, that doesn't happen anymore
because
we don't have big Thanksgiving.
Well, no, I mean, there's a game each year.
No, but
Detroit,
like, it's not one of two channels and like the only thing taking over everything.
Yes. Now I put on Turkey Day on YouTube with Joel Hodgson.
Exactly. Or like my family just put something on Netflix or even like a fake fire log next to a real fireplace.
I love those fake fire logs.
And like we don't. This doesn't happen anymore. The men and the women aren't separated for Thanksgiving.
So
the kids are helping.
Yeah. So they have a normal Thanksgiving. Then Bart ruins something and doesn't care. Runs away, and then the family chases after him, and then he finally comes home.
And this is also just again for me. I've told you the I was Bart scenario before, but like this I feel like happens to me to this day. I am Bart all the time, and yes, never mind. We'll get to that.
I felt more
part.
Like Lisa in this episode too.
Yeah, even though Lisa, I think like watching it now, she's less redeemable than I remember because she was very like wrapped up in her own problems without realizing the scope of how little her problems matter.
Yeah, though she's used to being ignored all the time, and this is just another moment of that.
That's true. It really punctuated her life of being just ignored. But were there any moments in this first act? Yes. Which is really just like observational Thanksgiving things where they're like preparing food and watching TV.
I've always never liked the Thanksgiving Day Parade, but still watch it.
It still happens, doesn't
it? I love
it.
Absolutely still happens. I was forced to research it recently for the every Aladdin reference.
Oh, wow.
Every genie impression in Aladdin, and the whole internet thinks it's Merry Heart in Aladdin during the Prince Ali sequence, and I'm... She never hosted this part. He says, and then I'm like,
so
in message boards
Hart.
Disputing.
Okay.
But the internet thinks it like this is not important.
I mean, it was
this
some Today Show. So look, and
the clip of this. This is my favorite clip of two on screen.
Is this Bill Lamarty?
It's so good.
This is my quote of the episode.
So
I love it.
We want me to play the clip.
Please play
it.
Also, my quote. Well,
I don't know if it gets any better.
I will not talk.
Quote
but this is line of the show.
That's the joke. Uh-oh, here comes our friend, Bullwinkle J. Moose.
Bullwinkle's antler sprung a leak.
Uh-oh, looks like old Bullwinkle's kind of got a taste of his own medicine.
He certainly did, Bill.
Wait, what did that mean? Did what I say make sense?
Well, no, not really, Bill.
Boy, now I know how the pilgrims felt.
What are you talking about, Bill?
That's one of, like, four moments in this episode that feel like, Dan and Harry are just goofing. And they animated it.
Or they're making fun of me and all the game streams I do, because I feel like those are the exact things
just
I say. Just filling air, baby.
What is that joke I just said? Did that make any sense? Let's just forget about it. Yeah.
Let's move on. As a kid, I definitely... I love the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade because it was... I love seeing the balloons.
I was waiting for
the Spider-Man balloon. I was waiting for the Bullwinkle balloon.
But the like, oh man, here's the touring company for Annie doing their famous... Like, no, change the channel.
That's what's gone wrong with the NBC's coverage of the Macy's Parade, which is that it was first like, okay, 30 minutes of Broadway productions, then an hour, and then it really turned into like 90 minutes
of
Broadway, and then you'll finally get to see...
I just want to see big balloons. Also, one of my favorite clips from this entire episode.
One thing. I think Marty questions Bill later, where he's like, "Now I know how the pilgrims fell." He's like, "That still doesn't make any sense."
Yeah.
Sorry. Please continue.
This of like the parade balloons, a great joke and a great in joke on the popularity of The Simpsons.
Again, right after the T-shirt line from Dancing Homer, we have this one.
So just to give you some context, at the very end of this clip, when they're not looking at the television, a Bart Macy's Day Parade balloon floats by.
Which was in the Macy's Day Parade.
That year, after 1 year of popularity.
Less than
who the hell is that?
Bullwinkle.
Who? Wait a minute, who's that?
Underdog, don't you know anything?
Well, I know it wouldn't hurt him to use some cartoons made in the last 50 years.
Son, this is a tradition. If you start building a balloon for every flash in a pan cartoon character, you'll turn the parade into a farce.
And then we immediately see Bart floating over. And I'm sure, like, in the commentary, we're like, oh, here comes Bart Simpson. He's up to some trouble, isn't he? Oh, what's he going to do now?
And do you realize this is my second favorite Simpson's parade float, balloon float joke?
Yeah.
What's the other one?
The absolute scratchy 75th.
No. It's them being the parade in Springfield, like, oh, we always get like the fourth rent cartoon balloons in the Simpsons parade. Like Marge's like, "What? What do you mean? There's Funky Winkerbean." Hey, Funky.
It's like, "Over here, Funky." I think I remember Duckman's father was killed by a Bullwinkle balloon. That's canon, by the way. Look forward to our Duckman podcast when I can get that off the ground.
That's a really hard clip for me to hear because I know when I watched it, I definitely
knew who
Bullwinkle Underdog is. But this is that. I do feel like Homer now. Like, you don't know who the fuck these people are. So what if they're not the kid from How to Train Your Dragon?
I think Marge also points out a Noid balloon. It's like, that's the Noid. He steals pizzas.
And not to harp on it, like I said. I taped every episode of The Simpsons starting this season and watched them every day. I missed this episode.
Oh.
And it
probably because it was Thanksgiving.
Wow.
And because it was Thanksgiving, it never aired again.
Right.
It never aired again.
That is crazy.
I never saw it in syndication. It was not rerun throughout the course of that year.
Chris, in the first like 17 years of The Simpsons, I remember the one episode I missed, and that was Itchy and Scratchy Land.
Oh, that sucks, Bobby.
Yeah, I eventually saw it again as a rerun, but I like it always like just haunted me. Like, I missed the first one, Simpsons? How did I do this?
Seen the promos, I knew there was a Thanksgiving episode. I knew that it involved Bart, especially, and that was really important to me.
Right.
And it sucked. It did not air again that year. I didn't see it until syndication.
Yes, missing a holiday episode was a big deal back then.
This is a good setup to what's going to happen later, just because I don't know why, as I grow older, I connect more. I like whenever Lisa is being Lisa, a little kid, I just get really melty, and I do like she's making a centerpiece for the Thanksgiving festivities.
Maggie, I'm about to unveil my centerpiece to the family. It's a tribute to the trailblazing women who made our country great. See? There's Georgia O'Keeffe, Susan B. Anthony, and this is Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. I'm sure you haven't heard of her, but she worked her whole life to preserve the Florida Everglades. As one of the Simpson women, would you like to contribute something to it? Oh, thank you.
That is not only a cool Lisa moment, it's a cool Maggie moment.
It is.
Maggie never gets any cool moments.
It's funny that Maggie buys into it, too. And like Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, I have still never heard of her.
Growing up in Florida,
you will hear her name.
Oh, so you guys have heard of her. I mean, you guys are both Floridians.
My father is the district attorney for the Game and Freshwater Fish Commission. I spent a lot of time in the Everglades.
Oh, wow.
Being coerced into doing a lot of reports on the Everglades. I absolutely have heard of her.
Well, that I like that bit too because it feels like the kind of George Meyer joke that's a very under the radar joke of like bringing up these forgotten feminists that nobody's heard of whose names have probably never been said on a sitcom
on a
ever.
Like, it's like getting away with something.
Yeah, maybe like Dick Cavett show during Super Bowl week, like when no one else is watching.
Also, this scene and Bart's response to Lisa made me see certain parallels to online video game ethical conversations.
Oh,
because let me just get this out of here real quick. Okay, so
Henry, I did write she has a very SJW centerpiece.
Yeah, Lisa's making a centerpiece that celebrates feminists. It's in no way stopping Thanksgiving. Bart doesn't get it and destroys it and is like, who cares? And then I just saw the parallel.
No. It's just that, like,
it's hard to not miss them.
I was
going to
bring that up at the
end.
Only at the end does this show reveal, because again, I see a lot of myself in Bart. I wouldn't have intentionally destroyed the centerpiece, and I thought he didn't either. But he kind of cops to it at the end of the episode.
Kind of.
We'll get to that in a second. Yeah, no, he says he does,
and he doesn't really understand himself, but. Before we get to that point, I do want to talk about like the family members that we see. So we have Patty and Selma showing up, and they bring their own dish.
Can I play the clip?
Oh, just please do, because
it's the grossest dish I've ever heard of.
Trout almondine?
Definitely didn't get it at the time.
Okay.
You brought food.
Just a few things. Swedish meatballs.
Mm-hmm. And my trout almondine. You knew that I was cooking a turkey.
Which is fine.
More power to you.
It's just that some people find your turkey a little dry.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want an option, they'll have it.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and sorry I don't have a clip of her, but is this the first appearance of Miss Bouvier?
I think so, yes.
It was an event for me. This is Marge's mom. We've never seen her before.
That's what made it so irritating that I missed taping this episode. I'm guessing I was probably in Ocala at my grandparents' watching, being introduced to Mystery Science Theater 2000. That's probably what was
happening.
That's
a great time to be alive.
Yeah, seriously, like, why does 2015 suck so much? Jesus
Help
Christ.
Help us. We want to be back in 1990.
And I guess I missed taping this, and the promos promoted that. It wasn't so much, it's a Thanksgiving episode, and you get to meet Mrs. Bouvier, and there's a minor moment where she gets, like, the star treatment, as in a build-up. She gets a build.
Well, you see her hair first, and then
You see a cab stop, and a guy get out, and let her out of the car.
I don't think the Bouvier thing is introduced until The Way We Was, because that's a very Kennedy joke. And do we even learn her name, that her name is Jacqueline?
It's just her mom.
Yeah.
It's just Marge's mom. But this also showed that this was the first time Marge and her sisters ever disagreed on the show, too. Like,
they hate Homer,
but she never got mad at them.
Yeah.
She was always like, be nice to my sisters, Homer. But in this one, she's like, even they have tension on this episode of them doubting her ability to make a good turkey, which, proven, Marge can't make a good turkey because they are basting the shit out of it.
That is such a gross scene. At the time, I thought it was the most fart jokes I've ever seen in The Simpsons. It's like three Bouvier members, like, basting the shit out of a turkey.
Oh, also, when I was a little kid, I don't want to make a Bukkake joke there, so I won't. But when I was a little kid, I definitely thought I was helping in the way Bart helps Marge as well.
That is very observational. Kid that asks for every like minute, granular step of the process.
I'm nominating this for my line of the show.
That's the joke.
It's broken, Mom. Mom, it's broken. Mom, it's broken. Mom, it's broken. Mom, it's broken. Mom, it's broken.
If anybody hasn't, if there's no good remixes out there of that, there's nothing I'd like the show to influence more than someone to do a remix out of Mom, It's Broken.
That is a great little line from Bart. The very impatient child attitude. Like, I'm going to turn this into a song because I just need an answer.
It's wonderfully symbolic of who Bart is, and it's also very good evidence of who I was.
Oh, and this also, before we get to when actual drama happens, this is another big signpost of a George Meyer script. Gambling on football.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
This is the first time it's been introduced.
It'll happen a lot.
They Come to Love It So Much God is an entire episode is gambling on
football. That was a really funny line that I meant to go back and grab. It's your daddy's favorite team, and I hope they lose by 5 points.
Like, 5.5 points.
We did miss one thing, which again is a very George Meyer thing. It is like the personification of Marge's mom, where her one of her two lines is, I have laryngitis, so it hurts to talk. So I'll just say one thing. You never do anything right.
Yes.
And then she just goes into the house. And
leave me alone.
I'd really like to think I didn't grow up in a hyper nice family, but like I like to think Simpsons conditioned people to not be this rude to one another. Like, is that my family is not like this?
Well,
there was a facade of pleasantry until people had too much to drink on Thanksgiving. I think there's
definitely a message in this episode of like you see the parents, the grandparents who handed down bad behaviors to their kids.
That's true.
And then Homer and Marge are then passing that along to their children. Like, there's the bit with Grandpa telling Homer he's lighting a fire wrong, too. Like, it's bad parenting all the way down.
I do like the brief visit to the Springfield Retirement Palace, where it's like, the following family members wish they could be here today.
Oh.
Yeah, and then it's just, like, depressing as heck.
Not to harp on my grandfather recently died. I'm 35 years old, and up until 18 months ago, had 3 out of 4 of my grandparents.
You are totally out of grandparents now, aren't you?
No, I have one left.
You have one left, okay.
I have one left, but she has no facilities and is in this old folks home, and this is where I spend every holiday.
I see.
And I definitely get that because we don't take them out of there because we got steps and no ramp.
I wrote that I think that old folks home is the most depressing thing ever in a Simpsons.
It's so real. And the Instagram I put
there's no
up,
extra joke to it. There's no hype. No,
and I put an Instagram up of the old folks home on Christmas Eve, someone volunteering to play Christmas themes flatly on a clarinet to people slumping over in their wheelchairs.
Wishing there was a TV on.
And they wouldn't forget.
And I went out to a bar and like people I haven't seen in years and like, that was pretty awful what you posted on it. This made me feel really bad.
Is this the first appearance of Thank You for Not Discussing the Outside
that's
World?
That's what I was just about to ask.
That, I think it might be the first appearance of that sign joke, in general. Yeah. Like that has to be a George Meyer joke.
It feels like one. It's the only time the camera dwells on it, but it's been in the background again and again.
Also, when Homer says, the hell with this, that also became like a motto for me. Like, the hell with this.
But back at the Simpsons house, I just had this clip. It's called Bart is Awful.
All right, Bart, that's it. Go to your room, now!
Okay, I'll take some white meat and stuffing to go and send up the pumpkin pie in about 20 minutes.
I said now!
Mom, do I have to?
Yes, you do. I hope you're happy, Bart. You've ruined Thanksgiving!
It's a very stagey line, but it reminds me of talking to adults and authority figures. I learned very early on that no matter what society has told you, you don't actually have any authority over me and you can't starve me.
Yeah.
And
like
I
have to keep me alive.
I don't have to apologize and I don't have to do what you ask me to and you're still going to feed me and I still get to do whatever I want.
As a kid, I was on both sides of those things. I felt like fuzzy emotions when Lisa says, you don't even care. Like
I do now.
That hurt to hear. But obviously as a kid, I definitely was like, oh, I'm going to say something snotty to my parents when they think they're disappointing
I thought
me.
That was the best thing I could do, is like be funny. And
I'll just be
clever
at you.
I'm having a breakthrough on the mic.
I'm invincible. One thing I noticed in this episode is musically, they play the one Thanksgiving carol I know, which I only know from the Mystery Science Theater promo. Like, we gather together to watch cheesy movies. You can hear that song playing in the background of this episode.
Wow,
I know
it's
it's like a standard, like a Thanksgiving standard, if there's one of them. But like it keeps popping up as like a leitmotif or something like that.
I like that. So Lisa and Bart are not at the table anymore. Bart has burned Lisa's centerpiece that she worked very hard on because it's SJ. And doesn't deserve to exist. That's clearly what we do with other people's opinions.
Right.
Homer's prayer is the most pathetic thing I've ever heard in my life.
And Lord, we're especially thankful for nuclear power, the cleanest, safest energy source there is, except for solar, which is just a pipe dream. Anyway, we'd like to thank you for the occasional moments of peace and love our families experience. Well, not today. Well, you saw what happened. Oh, Lord, be honest. Are we the most pathetic family in the universe or what? Amen.
I talk a lot about Simpsons sacrilegious jokes, but I do like the sincerity of, like, Homer just forgets and, like, I'm talking to God here. Everybody shut up for a second.
I think later there's like a line that's like, Homer, no gossip. Like he's like gossiping with that guy.
What's Maude up to?
I didn't mean to cut it out, but it's Patty or Selma saying, worst prayer ever.
Yeah.
Well, and so then Bart goes to... There's a nice little interlude after Bart runs away that he... with Santa's Little Helper, which they mentioned on the commentary that was a choice of theirs that... Santa's Little Helper was involved in their previous holiday episode, Christmas, so they get him involved in the Thanksgiving.
And I think he's also kicked out of the house for trying to steal a turkey leg or whatever. You hear that like ADR line before he's kicked out of the house and joins Bart.
Give me back that turkey leg!
But, so then they go to Burns' place, and I wrote this down that I think this is the first time you visibly see the releasing of the hounds.
Yeah.
He said he'd release the hounds on his previous one, but this time you see the
and it's,
hounds.
It's visually, I consider it synonymous with releasing the hounds, even though, I had not seen this episode as much as every other one.
The hounds are like these sleek killing machines that just like dive at you.
Yeah, they did a great job.
They look like fucking like World War II bombers at some
point. And that overhead shot of them just like dwelling outside of the hedges is really amazing. David Silverman, again, is fantastic.
And also, I forgot that we all remember Evergreen Terrace as their address, but I forgot that Burns was on the corner of Croesus and Mammon.
Wow.
Which are deities of greed.
That is true. I only knew about Mammon. Croesus, is that Greek or Roman?
I don't know.
Okay.
I should have looked that one up.
I'm sure a commoner will let me know.
I just have this quick clip because, again, I connect more with... I want to be more Lisa now than I am Bart. So I connect with her a lot. Jesus Christ, when we get to the Mr. Bergstrom episode, I have no idea what I'm going to do. But, I love this sequence. You saw me melt in Moaning Lisa when Marge has a good rapport with Lisa, and this is another instance of that.
Lisa, I'm very sorry about what happened.
Mom, I poured my heart into that centerpiece. Things like that always happen in this family.
I've noticed that, too. Well, when you feel like coming down, we'll be there.
I like that sentiment, and I like just her playing the frets on this.
Lisa is writing a parody of Allen Ginsberg's Howl. named Howl of the Unappreciated. Sorry, Unappreciated.
I saw the best meals of my generation destroyed by the madness of my brother. My soul carved in slices by spiky-haired demons.
Meanwhile, and this is also evidence of me learning nothing. Mm. Bart is off having the greatest adventure of all time.
Yeah.
And well, that, by the way, they mentioned on the commentary that Ginsberg heard about that and did appreciate it. They
I guess
heard,
he was still alive back then.
He held on for another. He was farting around for another like.
It's true.
So one of my favorite throwaway jokes I never noticed as a kid. What Bart goes, I actually did this too because I was a bad kid. Like, fuck you, I'm not getting a job. I'll go give some blood. Mm-hmm. And Bart does that to make $12.
That is true. Like, I gave plasma once and it was such a depressing experience that I never did it again. Like,
yeah,
there was one guy reading the same page of the Bible for like 3 hours while I waited. And I'm like, oh, I don't like these people.
I mean, they, $12 in 1990s.
A couple of my
money
loser friends are like, yeah, we don't even have to go to school or ever get jobs. Just give blood every day. And like, yeah, that sounds great.
I don't think I have that much blood in me.
You can't get blood once a month.
I like, know. We were just speculating on being. Right. We were trying to be losers. I don't
the
know
blood market was much more. Burgeoning
there
back
were,
then.
There were, so when Bart goes down the other side of the tracks, it had one of my favorite sign gags to date, which is it was called Massage Parlor, but massage was in quotes on the sign.
Oh, I missed like, that. Totally. Wow. Awesome.
So but he goes funny. To give blood, and I love this exchange.
Hey, you've got to be 18 to sell your blood. Let's see some ID.
Here you go, dollface.
Okay, Homer, just relax.
Ow!
I don't know who that voice actor is.
Me neither.
Yeah, secretary or something. I don't know. But the... okay, that's... Also, they mentioned there's two things they cut on the commentary that... It wasn't clear on the commentary if they had cut it from the script or they cut it from animatics or even animated it, but they said there was supposed to be a full scene inside the blood donation place. And then when Bart passes out, there's supposed to be another dream sequence where Bart's at the first Thanksgiving. And they cut both of those things.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that.
Conceptually there. Though I also wrote down, a kid passing out on Skid Row, that is a horrifying... Like, that horrifies me.
It's pretty dark. Like, if you examine, like, Bart is found by two homeless men who, like...
Who
don't,
are nice.
Yeah, they are very... They're very charitable.
They're TV nice home...
They're TV yeah. nice.
Though I do like that they take his money without, you know, any kind of reservations.
Well, also, like, because Bart ends up at a homeless shelter and his family finds out where he is because of television. And, like, if you're new to the show or didn't hear the first season on patreon.com/lasertime, exclusive there because they made it happen. We talked about like there was an inside joke with the writers that didn't really it felt like didn't the audience didn't get is that Kent Brockman is always out.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, Scott Christian or
there's always
else,
another guy.
Yeah.
Is this the first Kent Brockman?
It
appearance?
Is not the first Kent Brockman on camera because he like for example he's in the Krusty Gets Busted episode.
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah.
But this is I
his
did
first,
write down
fine
this is,
his first on location.
This
shoot.
Is the first time they have occupied the same space as Kent Brockman, and he isn't just on television.
And he's talked about by the Simpsons family. I love this this awful this fucking overindulgent like a, yeah. news piece.
Oh, we have lots of names for these people: bums, deadbeats, losers, scums of the earth. We'd like to sweep these people into the gutter, or if they're already in the gutter, to some other out of the way place. Oh, we have our reasons. They're depressing. They wear ragged clothes. They're crazy. They smell bad.
Hey, listen, man.
Wait, I'm going somewhere with this. So every year on one lone conscience-saving day, we toss these people a bone. A turkey bone. And that's supposed to make it all better. No, you won't find Freddy the Freeloader or Emmett Kelly or even Charlie Chaplin's beloved little tramp down here.
Pompous, blow-dried college boy.
His girlfriend is the weather lady.
You don't say.
Now I'm interested again.
I feel like couch talk.
College boy is something you can't say after the 90s. Yeah. Because everyone has gone to college, I think, at this point. It's,
well,
not, it's not a special thing.
That,
he would, of course.
Yeah.
Well, so one thing I found funny is that the Simpsons see this this human interest story that Kent Brockman's doing that, and that's how they notice Bart. But Lisa's poem, "The Howl of the Unappreciated," is interrupted because it's like there's Bart. So like again, like her moment is destroyed, which I love. Like even in defeat, just, like Lisa cannot get one moment of sympathy.
And I'll never say this to my sister in person and to her herself, but she is the nicest, sweetest person ever, and I constantly inadvertently do mean things to her, and growing up got all the attention by being bad. Over her amazing accomplishments. She made a Save the Whales Club in fourth grade. I'm like,
wow, that's a lot for a fourth
pussy,
grader.
Pussy, save the whales, dumb, gay. That was me, and like meanwhile she was doing something great, and yes, and she, if I ever die and I've never told her something nice, I'm sorry.
I was the Lisa in that relationship with my sister.
Were you?
She was the Bart, yeah. Well, she was the one who ran away. I was younger.
Yeah, so I ran away a ton.
So.
Yeah.
So was this the first Eddie and Lou? Was this?
I think so. Because it was. They're not the right voices.
The voices are swapped. Like, yeah. Lou has Eddie's voice and Eddie has Lou's voice. But they're visiting
the
Simpsons,
cops, by the way,
in order to figure out what happened to Bart and, like, try to kind of, I guess, press charges.
And I don't know. Marge had, like, what did you tell him? And she's like, I said that he ruined Thanksgiving. They're like, ugh, really? Like, because, like, I don't know. I understand, like, I read that break as in, like, well, they had to go to commercial.
Oh, for sure,
get this across to Bart. But I like that they make Marge feel bad for it later on.
So Bart comes back, but,
I have just a small clip from his again, talking about beautiful animated sequences,
The dream is the best.
His hallucination of, like, how his whole family thinks of him.
This is fantastic.
And this is how people like me and maybe you on the internet victimize themselves when they're really being an asshole.
It's your fault I'm bald.
I'm sorry.
It's your fault I'm old.
I'm sorry. It's your fault I can't talk.
Maggie.
I'm sorry.
It's your fault America has lost its way.
I'm sorry.
Uncle Sam.
I'm sorry. 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 I'm sorry.
So most of this I should have gotten that clip. It's like Bart is on camera. Is like, yeah, and I just want to say I still won't apologize because fuck you.
Yeah. If you want to know what David Silverman's animation looks like, use this scene as your guide because, like, the expressions, the camera angles, the movements, like the fingers pointing in at Bart.
You'll at least see it in the album art. I love it.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
They get closer and closer to his eye.
Yeah.
It's just... Yeah, it's
they don't
it's
do this anymore ever.
I screen capped this for Twitter. Like I was like I was pulling all the most insane like expressions because there's this great pan. Mm-hmm. It's not
beautiful.
It's not even a straight horizontal pan. It's like a rainbow pan across a bunch of faces.
You know me, I've been capturing animated stuff for so long for panning sequences. I did it in the first episode of The Simpsons for Cartoon Christmas, but I love stitching together animation pans.
I tried doing that
and
today.
It's impossible like, because it moves in like a waveform.
It is, yeah, because it has to go back to where Homer is, like, initially. So, yeah, it's, like, an amazing piece of animation.
It really is.
Yeah.
So then Bart goes on the roof, and I also love the bit where he says, like, dude, the boy who nobody wanted just won the Super Bowl!
Did you guys have a place where, like, balls and toys went where they were unsalvageable?
I had toys that went under a couch or something.
Yes, there's no basements in Florida because it's wet. And so if we had a deck, and if anything fell through, like, I had got the Mad Scientist kit. You remember that shit? You set up a skeleton and then build a fleshy stuff that you can then burn off, and then I just... boom, dropped it in the scale. Everything fell, but like within 1 hour of having the thing I wanted, it fell, and it's still there. My parents still live there. I could, but there's no access to it.
Future archaeologists will find
it. Oh, God.
And find out about Chris Antista.
What was this? They made fake bones?
Oh, and that, by the way, the dream key sequence laid out by Eric Stefani.
Oh, wow.
Eric Stefani was still working on the show at that time.
He quit, no doubt.
Yeah, he quit, no doubt, to be an animator, but he still made money off of the big No Doubt hit album. Like, he was a songwriter on it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
No, he was the figurehead or organizer of No Doubt. Like, he's the brother of Gwen Stefani, obviously.
On a later commentary, David Silverman will tell the story that he got shipped a gold record to work, and then he's like, I can't do this.
There are two notes that I have. One, that, like, whenever they flash back to the Simpsons house and this Evergreen Terrace, there's smoke coming out of everyone's chimney, which is a really elegant and subtle way to convey that this is the holidays.
There's a season change happening.
Yeah, even in Florida when it's not hot, like, you just build a fire. You just do. You do during Christmas and Thanksgiving. And I love that. And then also, like, if you're watching this, take note. When Ken Brockman gets in the van, it is a different person. It is
Ken
Brockman.
Okay, wow.
It is not Ken Brockman at all.
Well, he transmogrifies, I guess.
No, it's just, like, I think just somebody didn't bother. It's just a generic dude with white hair. But, like,
I see.
He's Ken Brockman. There's very specific things to him. And, like, it's super close up, and it is totally not him. Mm-hmm.
Well, and then the episode ends with just the same level, like 30 seconds of sweetness.
But I really like the scene where Lisa is on the roof with Bart. And, like, it's great that Bart is, like, trying to figure out, like, why he's doing the things he's doing. He doesn't understand why he's impulsive.
Everybody should speak out loud their situation with other people. And it's come to... I think everybody can come to the same conclusion. I love this. This is my favorite clip of the whole show. Not line of the show. But...
Bart, why did you burn my centerpiece?
Oh, come on.
Was it because you hate me? Or because you're bad?
I don't know. I don't know why I did it. I don't know why I enjoyed it. And I don't know why I'll do it again.
Just tell me you're sorry.
Why should I?
Bart, the only reason to apologize is if you look deep down inside yourself and you find a spot. Something you wish wasn't there. Because you feel bad, you hurt your sister's feelings.
Leave me alone.
Just look.
okay, okay. Looking for the spot. Still checking. Oh, this is so stupid. I'm not going to find anything. Just because I wrecked something she worked really hard on and I made her cr- Uh-oh. I'm sorry, Lisa.
Apology accepted.
I do like that Lisa forces empathy on Bart. Like, just go through this process. You need to. And he's like, I would do it again. Like, I don't know why I do these
I'm
things.
I'm going to do this again. I promise you that. Yeah, but...
Yeah.
And I also liked her that she blames herself for not taking... sorry, I wrote it down exactly. I failed to take his abuse with good humor. Like, that's how she blames herself.
That sounds like the what March says about Stanley Kowalski in the Streetcar musical.
Can't you take it with gentle good humor?
Yeah. Like, I do feel like this is a very Bart gets an F persona of Bart, where he's like, he doesn't like being who he is, but he also doesn't understand who he is, so he's just trying to like just go with it as it happens. But Lisa is forcing him to like deconstruct Bart as a person and figure out like why he does things.
This like I said, this was my favorite episode to date because I think it's full of hilarious stuff. It's a real funny episode, but it really gets in with the family, and it's them being an unhappy family that's mean to each other but still loves each other in the end. Like, it's full of passive aggressiveness and love.
Yeah, I like that the last scene is them eating turkey sandwiches, like, at midnight or whatever, which is, like, what you do over the holiday.
Well, now
they'd
be lined up for Black Friday, am I
right? They'd be stomping and crushing each other for Xbox
One. What was the number
one
GIF of 1990? Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. Super Nintendo? Nope. No, one more year.
A Genesis,
Jesus.
Perhaps?
Yeah, maybe a Genesis.
Tickle me, Groucho. Nope, sorry, that was wrong.
Cabbage Patch Kids.
I'm going to say the secret word, and I love you.
Had to be Ninja Turtles.
So I guess that wraps up for this episode of Talking Simpsons. I am Bob Servo on Twitter. Please follow me and let me know if you like the show. I also do another show called Retronauts. It's a weekly classic gaming podcast, and it's so much work, but I love doing it. All these guys have been on it, so please listen to it. Guys, please plug things.
LaserTimePodcast.com. We write a ton of fun stuff out there. That's where the Simpsons episodes air. If you want to go directly to the Simpsons episodes, the archive, it's TalkingSimpsons.com. But LaserTimePodcast.com, home to a bunch of other podcasts. Cape Crisis, the comic book show, Video Game Apocalypse, the weekly video game show, VG Empire, It Just Doesn't Stop, Cape Crisis, Laser Time. Blunder Lizard. Let's see if that comes back.
And patreon.com/lasertime. That's how you hear the first season of this, where we talk all about the first 13 episodes of Simpsons. It's exclusive to that. There's Cape Crisis comic book podcast too. All these great things. Lasertime podcast.
You want to be a Potterdist.
Yes. Yeah. And I should say, please review us on iTunes, on the iTunes Music Store. It only takes a second to give us 5 stars or let us know what you think about the show. And that helps us a lot because we're trying to crush every Simpsons podcast. We want to be number one people. Yeah. We will destroy everyone in our wake.
No one's got the fucking balls to tackle every episode of The Simpsons in 30 minutes.
No one is nerdier than us. At least I think so. So we'll see you next time for a brand new episode of Talking Simpsons. Later, everybody.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.